So we were still doing the sugya of Hana Balad and Bal Karcha, which is the sugya of incidental Hana. I want to try to finish up the sugya, maybe just make a couple of Ha'aras as we try to finish up this sugya today. So we got a little sidetracked yesterday in the topic of Kol Mar V'Reach In Behem Yishum Mi'ila, where the Gemara had said that there's no violation of Mi'ila when one hears a pleasant voice of Hegdish or sees a beautiful sight of Hegdish or smells a delicious smell of Hegdish. That's not a violation of Mi'ila, but Rava brought a raya from there. You see that it's Ein Behem Yishum Mi'ila, but Yisura Mi'ayika, you see that it's got to be Asur. If it wasn't Asur, then you wouldn't just say it's Ein Behem Yishum Mi'ila. You would say that it's not Asur. So it must be that it's Asur. So that's what we focused on yesterday, that how does that carry over to other Yisurei Hana, like Yisurei Avodah Zarah, if you're not allowed to view the sites of Avodah Zarah. We saw the tshuva, the Minchas Elazar. If you, the church has on top of the steeple, is it a steeple? I don't know what it's called, the thing on top of the church. If there's a clock on top of the church, are you allowed to look at the clock to tell the time? The only reason they put the clock there is because the church was the highest building in the city. Okay, we went through the various tzdadim lekula on that particular shaila. Now, let's go a little bit weiter now. Continuing in the sugya of Hana Balad Malkarcho. Let's pick up from about seven lines before the lines get wide in Chavav Amral. So the Gemara, I'm going to do some reading inside over here. So the Gemara says that the Gemara had just come to the conclusion that Kol and Mare and Reach are not all in the same category. Voices, sights, and smells are not all the same. In the end of the day, Kol Umare is Ein Behem Mishum Mi'ila, but Reach is Yeshbo, would be Yeshbo Mishum Mi'ila. Reach would be subject to Mi'ila. Because in some way, Reach is a more substantive type of Hana'a than Kol and Mare are. Why is Reach more of a substantive type of Hana'a than Kol and Mare are? What would you think? Misvara? What is it about Reach that makes Reach different than Kol and Mare? Reach satiates you? A smell? Mm-hmm. Well, smell is definitely closely associated with taste. Right. It's certainly...
It's something you want. It makes you want to get it, maybe. More, so...
Well, the Rashi HaChumash says that's Mara does that. That when you see something, Einayim Roas Halev Chomed, and right, that your eyes see something, and that gets you.
I don't think it's much, though.
What?
I think if you smell something that, smells that good, you know, even if it doesn't look good, you're still going to want it.
Okay, good. All right. I hear. So if you look at Rashi says, Bereach, Yesh bo mamish besamimanim leficha chayiv. See, by Kol and Mara, there's no mamish, there's no substance to it. But by Reach, there's some mamashus, meaning the aroma that comes out of it is something that's an actual mamashus. Udkam Rabbi Shua Pater le'achar shetal timrasim migdash kamar. Now Rashi is explaining what the Gemara says, that Rabbi Shua says you're pater on the Reach, you're pater from Mi'il on the Reach also. He says, the Gemara says, but that's only after the smoke has already risen from the ketores and it's already been burnt. So then there's no Mi'il on the Reach. Why? So the Gemara develops the following concept. Hoil v'na'asis mitzvaso, because the mitzvah was already done with it. And that's the concept, that anything that's na'asis mitzvaso, that the mitzvah was already done with it, is no longer subject to mi'ila. So that's the concept, that there would be mi'ila on ketores if it's not yet na'asis mitzvaso, but once it's na'asis mitzvaso, once it's already over, so then there's no mi'ila on the ketores. Ho'el v'na'asis mitzvaso. So frek the Gemara, really, is that true? Anything that you're not allowed to get hana'a from, once it's not, because it's kadosh, because it's designated for kedusha, once it's na'asis mitzvasa, once the mitzvah's over, does that make it okay to get hana'a from it, to use it for whatever you want? L'meimer d'kalhecha d'na'asis mitzvaso, ein bo mishum mi'ila? You want to tell me every time that it's na'asis mitzvaso, it's not subject to mi'ila anymore? Varei trumas adashen, na'asis mitzvaso v'yesh bo mishum mi'ila. What about the trumas adashen? Trumas adashen is, every morning they would take a shovel full of ashes off of the mizbech. Why are they ashes? Because it was already burnt. The karbanos, everything that had to be burnt, was already burnt overnight on the mizbech. So what's left? Ashes. It's already nas mitzvaso. So what would they do? They would take a shovel full of ashes, put it down next to the mizbeach. So that is na'aseis mitzvasa. So you would think, great, you can use those ashes for whatever you want because the mitzvah is already done with it. Tichsiv is some etzal mizbeach. But the pasuk says that it's still subject to milah because the pasuk says you shall place them v'samo etzal hamizbeach. Shelo yefazer. V'samo means shelo yefazer. Place them. It doesn't say unesanam. Vizarkam, right? It says visama. What's the difference between sima versus zrika or nesina? Sima means to place it gently. Why do you have to place it gently? Because what would happen if you took ashes and you place it and you placed it in a throwing motion or in a more rough kind of way where you were more aggressively placing it down? What would happen with ashes? It'd go all over the place. So visama, place it gently, shelo yefazer, that it shouldn't scatter, that it should stay in one place. Visamo, and it also says visamo, shelo yehana, to make sure they don't get hana from it. Put it down there, but don't get hana from it. Why? Mishum David Trumas Hadeshan. So, one second. So, bottom line is, what do you see from there? That even though it's nasis mitzvaso, it's still subject to mila. Mitzvah's over, but it's still subject to mila. Because we just said you have to be careful not to get any hana from it. I thought we said anything that's nasis mitzvaso is not subject to mila anymore. As Gemara, Mishum David Trumas Hadeshan, Big Dekuna, Shnei Ksuvna, Ban Kechad. You're right, that's an exception to the rule. And how do I know it's an exception? Because we have a rule in Kol HaTorah Kula. If the Torah tells me something once, then we assume that that is something that's meant to be applied everywhere. If the Torah tells me something in one context, then we have what's called a binyanav, a mematzinu, we apply it from that place to everywhere else in the Torah. But if the Torah tells me the same chiddush twice, if the Torah teaches me the same chiddush twice, we assume the Torah is telling me all of the exceptions. And everywhere else is the rule. But those two places are the exceptions. So says the Gemara, you're right. You're not allowed to get hana from the ashes of the Trumas Hadeshan afterwards. And it's still subject to mila, even though it's nasis mitzvah. So that's not the rule, though. That's the exception. What gives us the right to call it the exception to the rule? Because there's another example of something that's nasis mitzvaso and is no and is still going to be subject to me'ila. What's that other example? Big day kuhuna. Where do we find that? So Trumas Hadeshan Adi Amrin. Big day kuhuna dechsev. By big day kuhuna, pasuk says v'nicham sham, that you should place them there. What's the pasuk? Aaron comes alol moed. Pashat esabad asher lavash bevo el kodesh. He takes off the clothing that he was wearing when he went into the kodesh. V'hinicham sham, and he places them there. What does that mean? V'hinicham sham. Says the Gemara, milamed shetuin in geniza. You see that they need geniza. Geniza is like they need to be put in shemus. They need to be buried. You can't use them anymore. Why can't you use them anymore? It's already nasis mitzvaso. You already did whatever you had to do with them. Why do they need geniza? Why are they subject to mi'ila? Says the Gemara. You see that this is another example of something that's nasis mitzvaso and still subject to mi'ila. Shnei suvin haban kechad. So the Gemara says, well, that works out really well if you assume that they need geniza. But honey, chal rabban damri l'mlam shetun geniza. But el Rabbi Dosa de paligalayu da amar av l'ruy nein l'koin hediot. But according to Rabbi Dosa, you're still allowed to use those begadim for a koin hediot, and you don't have to put them in geniza. Umay v'inicham sham, and all v'inicham sham means is shalay shlam shvam yom kippur macher. That if these are the begadim that Aaron HaKohen walked in, or that the Kohen Gadol walked into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with, don't use them for another Kohen Gadol on another Yom Kippur. But you're still allowed to use them as big dekuna. So then, ma'ikel meimar, you certainly don't see any yisr mi'ila for something that's nasis mitzvaso from big dekuna, because it's not yet nasis mitzvaso. You can still use it for other mitzvos. So mishum david trumas deshan vegel arufa shneksum rabban kechad. So it says more. We still have shneksum rabban kechad. What's the other case of exception? Not big dekuna. The other case of exception is egla arufa. Because shnei ksuvna ban kechad ein melamdin, and anytime you have shnei ksuvna ban kechad, you can't learn anything. Says Gemara, hanich leman yamar ein melamdin. That works out really great if you assume that the rule is that when the Torah tells me something twice, it's the exception, it's not the rule. El man yamar melamdin ma'ik lememar. But if you hold when the Torah tells me something twice, that you could still apply a binyanav, you could still say that it's melamed. Then what are you going to say? So then if you have Trumas Hadeshan, where it's already nas mitzvaso and still subject to me'ila, and you have Egla Ruf, and you have Egla Rufa, which also is already nas mitzvaso and is still subject to me'ila. So those are only two. And whenever you have two, according to this opinion, that could still be a binyan av. That's not the exception. It could still be the rule. So says Gemara, trei miyuti ksivi, ksiv esama, ksiv harufa. There's a special mir by each of those psukim to tell me that they are the exception, they're not the rule. Bottom line is, anytime it's nasas mitzvah, so the Gemara seems to come to the conclusion that when something is already nasas mitzvah, so when the mitzvah is over, it is no longer subject to me'ilah, unless it's one of the exceptions that the Torah tells me. What are the exceptions that the Torah tells me? Trumas hadashen is one of the exceptions. Egla rufa is one of the exceptions. And big day kahuna, according to one day, might be one of the exceptions. Big day kahuna of the kohen gadol that he wore on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, a couple of issues over here. According to let's say like this. Why is it that when something is nasas mitzvasa, that when the mitzvah is over, there's no longer any mi'ilah? What's the reason for this din? Now, once it's nasas mitzvasa, once you can't do the mitzvah with it anymore, the mitzvah's already over, so now it's no longer subject to mi'ilah. Rashi Maseches Yuma, Daf Nun Tesam Beis, writes that because once it's nasas mitzvasa, it's no longer called Kodshei Hashem. Meaning, what Rashi's telling us is, you know why when it's not mitzvah, it's not subject to mi'ilah? Because mi'ilah is for things that are hegdish. Mi'ilah is an isser to get out of from hegdish. Once it's not mitzvah, so it loses the status of hegdish. By mi'ilah, the pasuk says, nefesh ki timol mal v'chato v'shkagam mi kodshei Hashem. So anything that's not kodshei Hashem is no longer subject to mi'ilah. Other Rishonim say that's a brilliant idea, that once something is not Kodesh Hashem, it's not going to be subject to Mila. It's indisputable that once something is not Kodesh Hashem, it's not subject to Mila. But they ask on Rashi, who told you that it's not called Kodesh Hashem anymore? Who says that after you burn Ketores, that all of a sudden, the Ketores isn't Kodesh Hashem anymore? Where do you get that idea from? And don't tell me you get it from Trumas Hadash and Egla Arufa, where we see that they're subject to Mila, even though the Nasas Mitzvasa, when since it's Shnei Ksuvim Rabban Kechad, meaning Yesh Ladin, when you have Shnei Ksuvim Rabban Kechad. So we say, Shnei Ksuvim Rabban Kechad is Ein Melamdin, right? The Torah tells me two Chiddush in two places, so it's telling me the exception, it's not telling me the rule. Good? Is that itself enough to be Melamed that the rule must be the opposite? You know what I'm saying? Normally, if the Torah tells me something in one place, so good, I know, I should apply that to Kol HaTorah Kula, that same idea to everywhere else. When the Torah tells me something in two places, I know that I can't necessarily apply that to Kol HaTorah Kula, but is the Torah telling it to me in two places also a limud to necessarily apply the opposite to Kol HaTorah Kula? Should I say by definition that if in two places it tells me that after something is nasas mitzvah, so it's still subject to me'ilah, me'mela, that's a source that everywhere else in Torah, it's not going to be subject to me'ilah after it's nasas mitzvah. So. Maybe that's the source of the whole din. So, the Rishonim discuss whether that would be a viable source over here. But either way, Rashi works with the possibility that once it's not this mitzvah, so it's not called Kodshei Hashem. So Rishonim say, no, the way we know this, this din is really learned out from Chatoos HaMesos. The Medrash in Toras Kohanim says that since the Chatoos HaMesos, what are the Chatoos HaMesos? Chatos HaMesos is a group of, let's say you designate a carbon chatos, and then you lost the animal. So what do? You chayiv a carbon chatos. You can't not bring carbon chatos, but you lost the animal. So what would you think you do? Get another one, right? So you get another one. Great. You bring the other one. And then, what always happens, the second you bring the other one, every time you bring a carbon chatos that you replace, what's going to happen 5 minutes later? you find the old one. Ah, that's where it was. I shouldn't have left that goat in the basement. I should have known I left him there. Should have known something was buying down there. I should have realized that it was my first chatas. Good? That's what you do. You get another one. What happens if you find the other one? Now what do you do with the first one? It has kedushas karban chatas. So normally you'd say, okay, I have a karban. I lost it. I took another, brought another one in its place. No problem. Bring the old karban. And just as a, you know, I'm a nice guy, so I bring it as a garban, as a nedava. I'm allowed to do that. What's the problem with that? Over here, by a chatas. Ein chatas, but nedava. You can't volunteer a chatas. A chatas is when you do an avera. So you can't quickly beshogig do another avera. You know, to be chayv another chatas, you know, it doesn't work that way. So what are you going to do with this animal? There's several cases of a carbon chatas that you can't do anything with. Can you give it to somebody else to use as his chatas? I guess not. I don't know, I don't remember the sugya so well. But there are several cases. This isn't the only case. I'm just giving this as an example. Of chatos amesos. Chatas sheneschapru ba'leha. Or let's say a person designates a carbon chatas and then he dies. So you got this this animal here. What are you going to do? The guy's dead. Chatos shemesa ba'aleha. So these are amongst the chataos hamesos. So the Medrash says in the Taras Kohanim that a chatos hamesa is no longer subject to mila. Why is it no longer subject to mila? Because nas mitzvah, so it's not roi for the mitzvah anymore. It's not even that it's nas is mitzvah, so there's quite a chiddush. It's not that the mitzvah was done. Because let's say the case that the guy died. Was the mitzvah ever done? The mitzvah wasn't done. Or even where you brought another chatos. The mitzvah of this animal was never done. This animal was never used for the mitzvah. It just lost all of its ability to be used for a mitzvah. And still the Medrash says it's not subject to mila. Why? Not because it's not a din in na'asis mitzvah. So. It's a din in eino ra'ui od le'mitzvah. That since you can't do the mitzvah with it anymore, mimela, it can't be subject to mi'ila. Mi'ila is something that's for kachim that are supposed to go to a higher purpose. You have kachim that are designated for a higher purpose, it's an isamila for you to personally benefit from it. But if it's something that has no higher purpose, whether it has no higher purpose because its higher purpose was already met and already done, that's not a mitzvah, so. Or whether it has no higher purpose because it just has no higher purpose anymore, that higher purpose is no longer an opportunity that presents itself to it, there's no mi'ila. That's where we get the din, say a group of Rishonim, that's where we get the din, that called Davish Nasa Mitzvaso Yemolim, but it's not a din in Nasa Mitzvaso, it's a din in Eino Ra'ui Od Limitzvaso. Question? No? Okay. I mean, according to Rashi, that it's just the din of Nas Mitzvah, it's just that it no longer belongs to Hegdish. That the bailus of Hegdish on anything is only insofar as they need it for the mitzvah, and as soon as they're done doing the mitzvah with it, it no longer belongs to Hegdish. So you don't necessarily know that there's such a rule that anything that's not ra'ui od le mitzvah, you wouldn't get mila. Because maybe that's only when it's Nasis mitzvah. So, okay, it was Hegdish for the sake of this mitzvah. This mitzvah's done, it's no longer Hegdish. But if the mitzvah wasn't done, even if the mitzvah's not available anymore, but it wasn't done, so maybe now it's still Hegdish. So that's a discussion by... that's a discussion by Mi'ila. But Mi'ila is something that's difficult to relate to a little bit. Unfortunately, we don't have Hegdish. We're not makdish things. What about other things? What about other isurim? There's a Tosos Maseches Temura. This week's parsha is Temura. It's a misprint on the parsha candy. Rabbi Weberman told me it says Teruma instead of Temura. It's a common mistake. There is a Masechta called Temura. So Maseches Temura, which we read about in this week's parsha. We don't read about the Masechta. We read about, you know, the Masechta reads about it also. In Maseches Temura, Tosus writes that the reason for the din in the Mishnah over there, that let's say you have something that you need to burn. What do you need to burn? So according to some deos chametz, ein bir chametz al shreifa. Machlokas tanaim. So according to some tanaim, you have to burn chametz. What else needs to be burnt? Irani dachas, avodazara, any that's misvaso b'sreifa. Something that you have to burn. What about the ashes that are produced after you burn it? Can you use those ashes? So the Mishnah over there says, Afaron mutter. Why? So says Tosus, because there's a mitzvah to burn these items. So when they're burned, it's very nas mitzvah. You did the mitzvah. So once you did the mitzvah, great. Once you do the mitzvah of Hegdish with something, whatever mitzvah Hegdish wants you to do with something, it's no longer subject to Mi'ila. So just like we say in that you can't have something that's Aser Ba'anah that you have to burn, and you did the mitzvah of burning it, and it's still going to be Aser Ba'anah. Just like doing the mitzvahs of Hegdish will take away the Isser Mi'ila of Hegdish. Doing a mitzvah with the Davar Aser of burning it will take away its Aser characteristics. Now, one could have said differently over there. One could have said, no. The Isser was chametz, right? Chametz is leavened bread or whatever. Once you burn it, it's no longer chametz. That's why it's mutter. The Isser is the Avodah Zarah. Once you burn it, it's no longer Avodah Zarah. It's Panam Chadashos Baal Lekai. You've destroyed the whole thing. But Tos is saying different. Tos is not saying that it's no longer called by the shape. He's saying that once it's Nasis Mitzvaso, once you did your responsibility with it, the Isser goes away. Not that the shame goes away. Right? Not that its title or its identity goes away. The Isser goes away. Because you already did your mitzvah. Yeah?
I mean, he could still hold the other way. I'm saying it's not clear. But I'm saying you could have this hakir between those two ways of understanding. Tosfos was might hold that. Meaning he might take it that step further. As opposed to just being an Isser, maybe take that step further.
Meaning, why would he compare it to Kol Davar Shenasa Mitzvaso Ein Ma'olin Bo? The fact that he uses that as the tzushtel, as opposed to just saying Panim Chadash Bo L'Kan, it's done, it's not here anymore. So of course the Efer is not Aser, because there's no Isra in the Torah against Efer. There's an Isra in the Torah against Avodah Zarah. There's an Isra in the Torah. There's no Isra and Efer in the Torah. Why don't you just say that? Elamai must be that he holds that it still has its shame. It's not a new entity. But once you did what you're supposed to do with it, so you're good. Rav Elchanan in Kovet Shiurim in Chelek Bey Simen Chaf Aleph in Kovet Shiurim asked the following kasha on this idea. How could Tosos, again, Tosos Maseches Tamura learns that just like by Hegdish, once you burn the Ketores, it's no longer subject to Mi'ila. So too, when it comes to Isser, he says, how do you learn Isser from Hegdish and Mi'ila? By Hegdish, what makes the item Aser? What makes the item Hegdish? The fact that it's Omed L'Gavoah. The fact that it's needed in the service of God. So once it's Nasas Mitzvaso, guess what? It's no longer Omed L'Gavoah. It's no longer something that's designated for the service of God. It's no longer the Tzorach Kavos, so that's why there's no Mi'ilah. Kachim Shemesu. Remember we just said, the Rov Rishonim understand. Kachim Shemesu Ba'aleha. Or Kachim Shemesu. Where you didn't do any mitzvah with them at all. They're not subject to Mi'ilah. Why are they not subject to Mi'ilah anymore? You didn't do any mitzvah with them. It's not about doing a mitzvah. Why are they not subject to Mi'ilah? They're not subject to Mi'ilah because they're no longer omeid for the mitzvah. Is what we just explained before. But Isurei Hanah, when you say it's us about Hanah, the Isur is not because you need to do something with it. Chametz is not us about Hanah because, no, you should be using your chametz for something better. That's not what it is. It's Asur because it's inherently bad. God decreed that it's Asr and therefore inherently bad. Kachim is not... The problem with Me'ila, the reason why things are subject to Me'ila is not because they're inherently bad, it's because they're inherently good. It's because they're needed for a higher purpose. And once they're not needed for the higher purpose, Me'ila, the Isser Me'ila, falls away. But when you're dealing with Isser, they're not needed for a higher purpose. They're just bad. And Adrabah, the fact that you have to burn them is because of the Isser Hana'a. So, where would you get the idea that once it's not mitzvah, so there's no Isser Hana'a in the Efer? Rabbi Chanan says that he doesn't see the Tzushtal in Tosfos. Tosfos is trying to compare Eloch HaDavar Shnas Mitzvah So Moalin Bo to Yisrei Hana'a that you burn. They shouldn't be subject to an Isra Hana'a anymore. The reason Mi'ila is not subject to an Isra Hana'a after you burn it is because it's no longer Omid L'Gavoa. It's no longer right to be used L'Gavoa. But an Isser had nothing to do with being Omid L'Gavoa. It's just inherently Asr. So Rav Chanan says this is all dependent on the Machlokas Rishonim, whether Kachim Shemesu are Asr Midarais or Midarabanim. Rashi says that Chatos HaMesos, there's no Isr Daraisa because they're not Omeid L'Tzarech Gavoa anymore. So the whole Isr Daraisa was only because they had a higher purpose. So when they died, they're not Omeid L'Tzarech Gavoa, so their whole Isr can only be an Isr Darabanim. So according to that, in a chinami, Rav Chanan's right. You can't have a limud. Tosfos would be wrong. You can't be malamid from kachim shnas mitzvaso to an iser that you burnt, because the whole vert in the kachim was that it was omid l'gavoa. But Tosfos l'shitasam says Rav Chanan holds that kachim shemesu are aser bahana'a mida o raisa. Rav Chaim brings a raya to this from a Tosfos in Zvachim. So apparently, why would Kachim Shemesu still be Asur Ba'ana Midal Raisa? They're no longer Omid L'Gavoa. Can't use them anymore. So apparently, even though they're not Omid L'Gavoa, since they once were Omid L'Gavoa, they now have a Shem Isser. They now have a Shem Isser. And that Isser remains and doesn't go away. It's not that every moment that it's Omid L'Gavoa, that's generating, that's fueling the Isser Me'ila. No. If it was once Omid L'Gavoa, we stamp it with the Shem Isser. Isser Me'ila. Now it's a Dover Asser like anything else. Nothing to do with it being Omid L'Gavoa. It's partial to Dover Asser like anything else. So the fact that once it's not mitzvaso, there's no longer me'ila and there's no longer an iser, that's a gzeres hakasuf. That the Torah is telling me that once it's not mitzvaso, it's no longer subject to me'ila. What's the gzeres hakasuf? The gzeres hakasuf is the two psukim that we have in our sugya that tell us that there are two things that are not mitzvaso and are still subject to me'ila. So that's melame that everything else is not subject to me'ila. Oh. If there's a gzeres hakasuf that tells me that a shem iser that was chal on something can go away once it's nasas mitzvaso, so then great, that works for iser and that works for me'ila also. It's a brilliant Rav Chanan. Rav Chanan thought, where's Tosfos come off saying that you could compare me'ila to iser? Me'ila's the whole iser of me'ila emanates from the fact that it's omid l'gavoa. So Rav Chanan says, yeah, that's true according to Rashi. But Tosfos Shitasim holds that that's not true. That the Isser Me'ila is not constantly fueled by the fact that it's Omid L'Gavoa. As long as at one point in history it was Omid L'Gavoa, Mimela becomes an Isser. And the Isser is like any other Isser in the Torah. It's not an Isser of Omid L'Gavoa. It's an Isser where that's triggered by being Omid L'Gavoa, but not fueled by being Omid L'Gavoa. Am I using terminology that makes sense to you? Right? Fueled by being Omid L'Gavoa is like you need it always to be there, otherwise the Isser doesn't exist. Triggered means, okay, once you pull the trigger once, so then the Isser is now able to stand on its own. That's the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. All right, we'll stop there. I do want to do a little bit more in this sugya. There are a few more rayas about, not about Nemi'ila and not about Kol Mavrech, but about incidental Hana. A few more rayas starting from the Tashima on the bottom of Chavav Amin Aleph.